The LA Kings insider Zach Dooley stops by to talk about all things LA Kings, and it's our first visit since the trade deadline. We'll talk about how that went down and more on this edition of Locked on LA Kings.
You are Locked on Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, welcome to Locked on LA Kings, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked on LA Kings your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Please like and subscribe if you are enjoying this content. I'm Eddie Garcia, your host of Locked on LA Kings. I've worked in sports media for almost 30 years, 20 plus years at the Fox Sports Radio Network. Also co-host of the Puck Podcast, a weekly NHL review show that's been putting out content for the past 16 years. And of course, a passionate LA Kings fan for the past 30 years. We are happy to be joined once again by LA Kings insider Zach Dooley. You should follow him on Twitter. He is at Dooley LAK, and you can read his work at lakingsinsider.com. And he is our first three-peat guest since I have been hosting the show. Zach, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Eddie, I am very proud to be that guy. Third time appearance, friend of the show, I think, at this point.
There's no doubt about that. And I hope you will wear that with a badge of honor. But it's great to have you back. And this is the first time we've had a chance to chat since the trade. So let's take you back to February the 28th. Andre Kopitar just had a 4-goal game. The Kings rally for a big road win to wrap up a road trip. And then the trade happens. You were obviously covering the team. You had written a wrap-up piece about that game. So when does the news hit you, and what were your initial thoughts on the trade?
It was such a whirlwind, right? Because you're in the moment, it's post game, and you're doing things that you would normally do, and then as you kind of go along with your routine, certain bits of what's coming start to kind of come out. And you know, I felt like I was so scrambly in the moment, like I was trying to get my post game story done, and we're doing interviews with players and coaches, and then you get to the bus and you see, oh, you know, something's kind of happening, and then you get on the plane and some more details come out. So it was just kind of the whole night. I was working pretty much the entire time, just waiting and saying, okay, is this actually going to come out tonight officially, or is it going to be something that comes the next day? And then eventually, you know, by the time you're close to home, you realize, okay, this is probably coming in the morning. So now you're thinking, oh, well, I'm going to sleep for about 2 hours and then get back up and do this again. When you're in the moment, you kind of lose track of that time. And I think we kind of first saw, okay, this might be a possibility when we were going to the airport, and then you get to the plane and you're like, all right, we don't know exactly what, exactly when, but we're just trying to be as ready as possible. And it was such an interesting time because you're coming off of that emotional, you know, comeback win, the 4 goals that Kopitar scored. But there's also this deal that is being reported as happening. But it isn't fully official. So it was kind of a weird situation for sure. And it was definitely one of the more whirlwind travel days home we've had this year. That's for sure.
I have to ask you, I know that the LA Kings media travels with the team on the plane. What was that plane ride like back from Winnipeg to LA?
I mean, it's very separated. Like we're in a different section, you know, than the guys were. So from our end, to be honest, you know, I was computer open, writing, preparing the entire plane ride. It didn't seem any different to me other than the fact that I had a lot more work than I might usually have to do on a 4-hour plane ride home. So to be honest with you, I was writing so much, just trying to be prepared, because at that time we thought, hey, there's a possibility that this trade gets announced tonight. So I was really just focusing on getting my work done, getting the website prepared in case something did actually go down. So for me, it was a same kind of ride minus the extra work. Sure, there were some additional emotions and whatnot. Obviously it was with the player that was leaving, a franchise icon, those emotions are going to come up. But for me, it wasn't any different because I was so invested in what I had to be doing. You kind of get lost in that sometimes when you're on the plane.
Well, you talk about emotions, and certainly it's been a very emotional situation for Kings fans, especially now that Jonathan Quick has landed with a division rival. So it's been hard for Kings fans. You're a part of the organization. You're in the building. You're around the team. How hard has it been on the organization with a player like that leaving under these circumstances?
I mean, it's always hard, right? Like, this is a player who you could argue is one of, if not the most important player in franchise history. It's a guy who will have his number retired by the organization one day, a guy who's won two Stanley Cups, been here for his entire career. So there are a lot of emotions when it comes to that. You know, when you're interviewing Anje Kopitar and Drew Doughty about it the day after, those emotions are still pretty raw. It's obvious. Like, they didn't just lose a teammate. They lost a friend and a brother, as they would put it. You know, for the other guys in the room, they lost a leader. And that part of it is very, very difficult. And I think at this point now, it is pretty well removed. I understand, you know, Jonathan Quick is on a divisional rival, but I doubt there are too many people here who are upset that he himself has found a good spot and he himself is playing well. I think a lot of people are rooting for that. And now, if you look at it in the moment, you know, the LA Kings, since that trade, are 4-0-1. Kings are playing some good hockey. The Kings have gotten contributions from the guys who have come the other way, Gavrikov, Korpisalo, and Zach MacEwen in a separate deal. And they seem to be playing some pretty good hockey. So you hope that the guy leaving finds a good spot because he is so well respected and so adored here. And you also can look at it in a happy way that the guys who have come back have seemingly fit in very, very quickly and very, very seamlessly.
GM Rob Blake, this was his first trade deadline as the GM where the Kings were in a position to add. You know, he's been a seller before, and I think a lot of people were curious if he was going to be bold or not, and he certainly was. Was that a surprise to you at all, or what did you think about, you know, the potential for trades at the deadline?
Certainly not surprised. I mean, that's where this team's at, right? They traded a first-round pick over the summer for Kevin Fiala. First time they had traded a first-round pick in several years after years, like you kind of mentioned, of acquiring those future assets. And now the Kings are at a point where they're no longer selling pieces from this team. They're doing trades, making moves that are designed to make the Kings better. And that's what this trade was all about. You know, the Kings have shown that to make their team better, they're not afraid to move some of those future assets. And, you know, obviously you want to have those high round draft picks, but the Kings were able to fill arguably their two biggest needs with one trade, right? If you hear what everyone was talking about, it was a left shot defenseman, ideally someone with some size and physicality, and it was stability in net. So in adding Gavrikov and Korpisalo from Columbus, they killed two birds with one stone. They got that left shot defenseman that everyone, you know, seemed to agree that they needed, and they got a very solid option in net. And since those guys have come in, the Kings have not lost in regulation. They've given up no more than two goals in a game. So far, so good on the returns as well. And I think overall, not surprising to see the Kings in a position where they were aggressive in trying to improve the team right now.
We'll talk a little bit more about those specific additions in a moment, but I was wondering, do you think that the Western Conference seemingly being pretty wide open maybe accelerated Rob Blake's decision-making as far as kind of like being bold now, as opposed to, you know, if it looked like there were some real powerhouse teams in the West, for example? Do you think that helped make his decision?
I think the Kings were always in that position because I think that they envisioned themselves kind of in that spot, right? Like when Rob Blake spoke after the deadline, he said that these moves were necessitated by the team's play on the ice. You're completely right, in my opinion. Like, the West does feel pretty wide open. If you look at the East, there's those six teams separated at the top and then a mess of like eight teams for two wildcard spots. Whereas in the West, it's a lot more clumped together with a lot more teams kind of in that mix. It's not that massive separation of points between the division teams and the wildcard teams. It's a lot tighter. I think that on the right day, any team could beat any other team. So that certainly plays in, but I think that the way that the Kings have played told management, hey, we're ready to go for it. And that made them comfortable parting with what they did to get the help right now.
I was talking with Eric Stevens of The Athletic before the Nashville game, and we were talking about how Jonathan Quick has obviously played for Vegas and kind of kicking around some theories as to why suddenly he's completely kind of changed things around. Do you have a theory on why you think Jonathan Quick has turned it around so far with Vegas?
You never know, right? To be honest, I can't say I've watched any of those Vegas games really. So it'd be hard to say without, you know, seeing those games. Obviously this is a guy who his pedigree speaks for itself. Always dials things up around this time of the year. So I can't say like stylistically or anything like that. Like I know exactly what's going on just because I haven't really watched any Vegas games. But with that being said, even though it's a division rival, I think a lot of people are very happy to see him playing as well as he is and finding the success that he is with the Golden Knights.
We're going to have much more with LA Kings insider Zach Dooley in a moment, but real quick, I need to let you know that today's episode of Locked On LA Kings is brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is a perfect time to download the FanDuel app. It is America's number one sportsbook. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's a bonus bet back. If your bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sports app. Safe, secure, and easy to use. And you can bet on everything from the money line to points scored to three-pointers made. Plus, FanDuel even lets combine your bet for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. More with Zach Dooley. And Zach, it appears that the Kings were able to put the trauma of that quick trade behind them pretty quickly. After the trade, they go on a season-high five-game winning streak. And it seems like the additions of Vladislav Gavrikov and Jonas Corposalo, they've been kind of absorbed into the team pretty smoothly and easily, it seems like.
Hit the ground running, right? Hard to argue with the contributions, you know, that those guys have brought. Gavrikov, speaking with someone from the Columbus organization, they called him the golden octopus from his time there because he has these tentacles. And whenever there's a puck in reach, he uses the tentacle to whack it away or to stick check or to clear a rebound in front. We saw that from game one where there was a breakaway going behind him. He uses that long reach to swat it away and prevent a grade A scoring chance the other way. He's contributed offensively. He's formed a really, really strong duo with Matt Roy on the back end. Two guys, I think, with a bit of a like mindset back there. And they've done a really good job together. Both guys who take care of their own end first. Both guys who play with physicality, defensively responsible, but can also contribute offensively as well. Matt Roy, we've seen his 9 goals this year. Gavrikov, a couple of points from his first 5 games. And Jonas Corposalo in net, you never know how a goalie might fit in. Structurally, their job is just to stop the puck, right? But there are little quirks in a team's game that you have to adjust to. And Corposalo has looked every bit the part so far. He's been very solid for the Kings. He's a bigger guy. Not a ton of movement in his game, but he has that athleticism that can make those spectacular saves when needed. I thought the Colorado game the other night, he was very, very good. 2 or 3 big, big saves when the Kings needed him. Without those saves, maybe the game goes the other way. Corposalo made the stop, kept the team in it. So far, so good for both of those guys. Still getting adjusted, but two guys who have come in both in the locker room and on the ice and been a really good fit for this group.
We've heard that Gavrikov has a pretty funny personality. I know when he scored his goal, which he doesn't do often, he had a bit of a celebration where he did kind of the call me up to his head. And I was like, for a guy who doesn't score much, it's kind of funny that he actually had kind of a goal celebration move. Is there any story behind what that was all about?
It's funny. He joked about it himself. He said that you don't know about it because he doesn't score enough to have it be recognized at a wider level. So just something he said that he's been doing for years. I didn't go into it too much more than that, but a guy who's got a little bit of wit to him, definitely some sarcasm and some humor. Been great to get to chat with him a few times since the Kings have acquired him. And, you know, he's the kind of guy who went right into the locker room and he wasn't quiet. He was vocal and he fit right in with the group. And I think that really helped the transition for both of those guys that they were able to go in, assimilate right away. There wasn't that awkward get to know you period. They just kind of came right in, did their job on the ice, and have been really good fits from a personality standpoint off the ice.
Moving over to Jonas Corposalo, are we seeing a open competition for the number one goalie job kind of going forward? We've seen both Phoenix Copley and Corposalo alternate starts so far. We'll see if Corposalo does start against the Islanders or not, but is that kind of the plan going forward, do you think?
I think right now it is for sure, right? You have two guys who have done nothing but stop the puck since Corposalo's come in. I think the goal totals against in those 5 games have been 2-2, 2-2, and 1. So if you're letting up no more than 2 goals a game, you're probably doing something well. I think it's important to note that, you know, Corposalo came here to play. But Phoenix Copley doesn't suddenly not play because they acquired a goalie. Like, Phoenix Copley is still very important to this team. Todd McClellan made sure to make that very clear, is that both goalies are going to be important down the stretch. I don't think there's necessarily a plan drawn in pen of 10 games here, 10 games there. I think the play of the two goaltenders will dictate who gets the net. And right now, both guys have played well. It's not a situation where they're both struggling, not a situation where one guy has clearly stepped up. Both guys have played extremely well. And I think, at least for now, as long as both guys continue to do their job and continue to win games, we'll see both goalies play a role down the stretch. And I think that's probably the best case for the Kings right now, having both guys kind of trading off strong performances. It's only going to push the other guy even higher.
As far as the injury front for LA, they've been pretty relatively healthy for the most of the year. There have been some guys that have missed here and there, but nothing, you know, where a guy has missed months and months that I can really remember. But you've got Kevin Fiala. Obviously, there was that scary collision in Colorado. Sean Durzi is out as well. And as you know, kind of navigating what is said about hockey injuries can sometimes be tricky. But kind of what is the feel as far as both these guys and when they could return?
Well, neither guy is skating right now. So the real update, if you will, probably comes when one of those guys starts to practice again with the group. Speaking today, Todd McClellan said that the hope around the organization is that Fiala's injury is something that is shorter term as opposed to longer term. He got the day-to-day designation the other day. Hasn't skated since, so we'll kind of have to see how that plays out. But right now, the hope is that it's a shorter term situation with Fiala. He's getting treatment. We'll see how he responds to that, and then we'll go from there with Durzi. McClellan shared that he is feeling better, but has not skated as well. So I don't think either of those guys are playing against the Islanders. And we probably will have to just kind of see how it goes day by day until we see one of those guys either skating on his own or skating with the full group. And that's when you get a sense of, okay, we're getting some progression towards a return to the lineup.
With Durzi out, obviously you're not only losing a defenseman, but the quarterback for your second power play unit. I know Jordan Spence got an opportunity to show what he could do in the Colorado game. I thought he looked really good, but then he was back out of the lineup against Nashville. Do you see Jordan Spence maybe getting more of an opportunity as long as Sean Durzi's out?
I think he will. I think the Kings really like what they have in Jordan Spence. And that doesn't take anything away from what they have in a guy like Sean Walker or Alex Edler either. They're different players. And Todd McClellan has talked a lot about the concept of different ingredients. And those three players are all different style of players. Jordan Spence has done a lot of growth this year. At the AHL level, his point per game total is about where it was last year when he had a terrific rookie year. It was an AHL first team all-star. But he's taken on a lot more at the defensive end this year, and he's really grown. He's facing first lines and other teams this year with the rain. He's killing penalties with the rain. He's been a little bit more of a leader this year with the rain. So the hope was he could take what he's learned in Ontario, bring it up. When he's played against the Colorado Avalanche, we know the elite forwards that that team has. Didn't look out of place at all. He was very solid defensively, contributed with an assist on Phil Deneau's deflection goal. So whether or not he's going to play every night, I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of rotation down the stretch, both at forward and on defense. The Kings have more players who are capable of playing in the NHL than they do roster spots on a given night. I think right now with Durz out of the lineup, Spence is going to get an opportunity at some point. He's played with Alex Edler before. He's played with Sean Walker before, so he's comfortable with both of those guys. And I'm a big Jordan Spence fan, so I'm excited to kind of see what he can do when he does get back into action.
Yeah, so am I. I'm looking forward to that as well. I was really excited to see him get in the lineup against Colorado. A few more with Kings insider Zach Dooley in just a moment, but real quick, also want to remind you today's episode of Locked On LA Kings brought to you by Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced superfoods. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, and AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, costs you less than $3 a day, just one scoop and a cup of water. That's it. All you need you don't need to have a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. And Athletic Greens is going to make it easier for you, give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/NHL network. That's athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right. A couple more questions with Kings insider Zach Dooley. And I know you just wrote an article at LAKingsInsider.com called What's Driving the Top Line? And I wanted to ask you about Quentin Byfield. Whose idea was it to put him on the wing on the top line? And how much of a difference has he made since joining that top line?
It's been a huge difference for sure. Their move was originally made during the third period of the last time the Kings were in Colorado before this March game. So at that point, Kevin Fiala was in that spot. Mid-game, the Kings decided to switch things around. They moved Fiala down with Lizotte and Gabe Vilardi, a line that we knew to be very successful after the fact. And Quinton Byfield was moved up. And you look at his goal and assist totals and you think, this guy's not a first-line player. He isn't producing at that level. But then you look a little bit deeper and you see the things that Byfield is doing, and you look at the production that Kopitar and Kempe are having, and you're like, oh, this guy's making a pretty big difference. And if you look since the first full game that Byfield played on that line, it was January 1st, Kopitar is well over a point per game. He's got 32 points from 27 games, and Kempe is exactly at a point per game, 27 from 27, but he has 18 goals in that span. So he's got 18 goals from 27 games. That's a lot of goals in that kind of a span. And what Quinton Byfield has done is he skates really well. He's a big body, and he's creating a lot of space on the ice for Kopitar and Kempe to operate. They'll both tell you that they've had more room to operate since Byfield's gone there. He's taking a lot of that dirty work along the boards. He's winning a ton of battles with his size and his physicality. And I think if he keeps doing those things, eventually the production will come. Recently had a 5-game assist streak. A lot of those assists were primary assists where he was making plays coming off the wall or making plays in tight spaces to set up other guys. Eventually, if he keeps doing those right things, the hope internally is that it will eventually translate into production. But so far, hard to argue with how well that line's played. And it's hard to argue with how well that opens up the rest of the lineup to provide the Kings with three or four lines as opposed to maybe two or three.
The Kings power play obviously was a big focus coming into the season. It has been much better overall in the season, but has gone cold of late. I believe one for the last 19 with the man advantage. Obviously, no Kevin Fiala and Sean Durzi has an effect on that. Any general thoughts you have on why it's gone a little bit cold? And will we see maybe Arthur Kaliev back in the lineup to kind of bolster that second power play unit?
Well, I think the biggest thing was that the Kings were taking too many penalties while on the power play. I think it was 7 times over a span of like 8 games. The Kings took a penalty while on the power play. And that's half of the misses you just talked about, right? Were power plays that weren't seen out through 2 minutes because the Kings took a power play. That was a big, big focus on that New York road trip. Coming back, the Kings had 3 penalties while on the power play against Washington. And that really stagnated that unit. I can tell you that the Kings spent a lot of time on the power play during today's practice. That's Monday. And they put a lot of work in to try to maybe re-energize, reinvigorate that unit a little bit. They know it's gone a little bit stale. They're not necessarily, I don't know, struggling is fair to say, because like you mentioned, they've been so good all year, but it hasn't been as sharp as of late or as productive as of late. So they're certainly putting some time and some effort into getting that unit back where they want it to be. Arthur Kaliev could potentially draw back in. He did take some reps with that unit during practice, though there was a bit of a rotation. Guy who has been out of the lineup for a couple of games, but we know the weapon that he can be on that power play. And he has, you know, such a heavy shot, an accurate shot. He's a big part of that unit when he's in. Wouldn't surprise me to see him check back in, but as we know, the Kings do have a lot of options up front right now. So they're looking for the right ingredients that kind of fit the matchup on a given night.
And one final one for you, Zach. Just looking at the Pacific Division, it seems like the 4 teams that are currently holding down playoff spots are going to be in the playoffs this year. How do you like the Kings' chances of getting home ice, at least in the first round of the playoffs, by finishing second?
What's interesting is like the Kings are 5-0-1 over their last 6. So you'd say, okay, they've probably created some separation, but they haven't, because Vegas is 6-1-0, Edmonton's 4-2-0, and Seattle's 4-1-1. So the Kings have played so well, they've gotten the results that they've gotten, but they haven't really picked up that much ground. So I think this is going to be a race for those spots. It's going to be very tight the rest of the way, but the Kings control their destiny in that scenario. They still face Edmonton twice, they still face Seattle once, and they still face Vegas once, not to mention 2 games against the Calgary Flames, who, while they're a little bit further back, are kind of still in the picture. So there are a lot of games down the stretch that are going to kind of determine, okay, who's going to be the 1, 2, and 3 seeds and who's going to have to fight for that wild card spot. 4 teams that are separated by just a few points, and there's only 3 spots in the Pacific. Certainly like where the Kings are at. And I think if they keep playing the way that they're capable of playing, very good chance at that home ice. But it's really just about getting in, right? We saw last year how quickly home ice can turn, and about getting in first, and then we'll kind of see where things shake out with either the division title or potentially a second seed.
Well, certainly important games to go for the LA Kings, not only for positioning in the playoffs, but also some momentum going into the postseason as well. And so far, so good. The additions look good and should be exciting. We're looking forward to not only watching it, but reading all you have to offer. That is the LA Kings insider, Zach Dooley. Again, follow him on Twitter. He is at DooleyLAK, and you can check out all of his work at LAKingsInsider.com. Zach, it's always a pleasure. Always appreciate your time. And looking forward to the next time we get to talk.
No problem, man. Anytime.
All right. Thank you, Zach. All right. We appreciate Zach Dooley coming on the show. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Do want to remind you real quick, coming up on Thursday, we do have a feedback show, Feedback Thursday. Any opinions you guys have on what's going on with the Kings, would love to hear what you have to say. You can send me an email, LockedOnEddie@gmail.com, E-D-D-I-E, LockedOnEddie@gmail.com. And, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you can post your comments below and really appreciate you guys being a part of those feedback shows. And it's obviously your opportunity to let me and everybody else know what you think about what the LA Kings are doing right now, whether it's individual players you want to talk about, the team as a whole, the playoff race coming up, whatever's on your mind. Feedback Thursday show coming up, obviously, this Thursday. Hey, I want to thank Zach Dooley again for joining us. Looking forward on tomorrow's show to recapping the game against the New York Islanders. Hopefully the Kings getting back on the winning track. And we look forward to talking about that with you. Hope you'll join us then. I'm Eddie Garcia. Thank you for listening and watching Locked On LA Kings. Have a great day. And as always, go Kings go.